Good morning. How's everybody doing? Well, great. Let's stand up. Let's celebrate what God has done and is doing. Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
Right here, come on.
I was breathing but not alive.
Woo!
All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you.
That's right.
You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. My soul, oh, your freedom is all that I know.
Let's go.
The old man knew.
Ooh.
Jesus, when I made you.
Oh, what a day.
When you called my name, and I ran out of that grave. My sin was heavy.
Let me hear you. Come on.
Pray, God.
You put me Together and worshiping together. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate, and I am thankful that you've chosen to worship with us today. I especially want to welcome you if you're a guest. Thank you for choosing to come and to worship with us today. I want to encourage you, if you would, to take just a moment and fill out the connection card that you'll find in the pew in front of you. It is a really good first step to getting connected here at Westgate. If you're interested in finding out more information about our ministries or how to get plugged in and involved, that is a great first step. And so I'd encourage you to take a moment and fill that out. And if you are a guest with us today, at the end of the service, I would encourage you to actually hold on to it, and then you can take it out these back doors to our guest center. And we have some hosts that are there that would love to answer any questions you might have about the church or how you can get involved. But also, they have a small gift they'd love to give you just for saying thank you for being here. So again, I want to thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. There are a lot of things going on around Westgate this Christmas season, a lot of different events and ways to get connected and involved in the season, things like our Christmas on Wilford that is coming up. One other thing that I really want to emphasize is we are right in the middle of our Bless a Child ministry, where we are partnering with that neighborhood church in North Toledo. And what we do with Bless a Child is that we adopt children. Each of us as families will adopt children and buy gifts for them because their families cannot. And I'm excited to tell you that so far, I think we have adopted out about 60 children from that neighborhood church, which is super exciting. And I think they have about 26 more on the list. And so Ty France is going to be out at the table today in our cafe area. And if you or your family would be interested in participating in Bless a Child, please be sure to stop by. Today is kind of the deadline to do so, as gifts are due next week. So be sure to check that out if that is something that you were interested in. Now, this morning is a little bit of a different service for us, as we are celebrating celebrating the end of our two-year generosity initiative entitled Unfinished. And so we're going to be doing all sorts of things with worship and hearing testimonies and stories. We're going to dig a little bit into God's Word, watch some videos together. Towards the end of the service, we're going to actually take an offering, which we haven't taken during the service since before the pandemic, but we have our offering baskets that are here up front. And so if you have brought an offering with you today, just keep that in mind that at the end of the service, during a couple of our songs, we're going to provide a special opportunity for us just to bring our offerings to the Lord. But I want to give you some explanation, especially if you haven't been here with us over these last 2 years. We have been in the middle of a generosity initiative entitled Unfinished. The idea that the work that God wants to do in us and also through us is not done until the day that He comes again. And when we set out with Unfinished, we talked about some of the main things that we were striving to do was to learn and to grow in our generosity of our time, talent, and treasure. And we had set out on some various projects that the Lord, we felt like the Lord was leading us to do. One of those was paying off our church debt, which we had held for a very long time. Other projects were the refresh of our worship center, where we'll be changing out the carpet and the pew color and all of that kind of stuff, but also to take those resources into to pour them into ministry initiatives to reach our community with the good news of Jesus Christ. But one of the things that I love about Unfinished is that Unfinished really isn't just about the raising of money and the doing of projects. From the very beginning, the Unfinished initiative has been about a recognition for each of us as individuals in our walk with the Lord about God, what God wants to teach us when it comes to living a life of generosity in all areas of our life. And some of the favorite stories that I have heard this past year as we have gone through it has less to do with what we have accomplished project-wise and more to do with what I hear God doing in each of our hearts as we surrender more of ourselves to Him. And so this morning, I wanted to give you just a little taste again of the vision behind Unfinished. We've got a short 2-minute video that we played at the very beginning of Unfinished to help us to understand the vision that God has given us. Let's watch it together now.
From a one-room schoolhouse on the corner of Secor and Central to our over 65,000 square foot facility in Sylvania Township, Westgate Chapel's mission has always been about leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know that what our community and the world don't need is just another church that is satisfied with filling their seats and Christians that have become satisfied with what the church can do for them. God is calling Westgate Chapel to transform lives, to be equipped to care deeply about those who don't know Him, to love the world the way that Christ loved us, to use every opportunity God presents us to be a light in the darkness, and to bring the life-changing message of the gospel to a broken world. And we know that each person at Westgate Chapel plays a key part in this mission. Because when we come together as a united body of believers, submitted to God's plan for our lives and using our God-given talents, time, and treasure, there is nothing that God can't do through us, and often we stand amazed by the incredible things He has done. We are grateful for the numerous stories of how God has changed lives through Westgate Chapel in our over 111-year history. But we are convinced that there is so much more that God wants to do in us and also through us. And we believe that the best is yet to come and are eagerly anticipating all that God has in store for our future.
You know, as we started off Unfinished, think about it, 2 years ago in the end of 2019, there was so much excitement as we launched into it together. And I can remember just the feeling of excitement in December of 2019 when we kind of got to the end and we had seen one of the largest giving months, I think, in recent history with over $700,000 that had been given towards the Unfinished initiative. It was an incredible start for us. And I looked back this week. thinking about all of the excitement that was there. And there was an update video that I sent to the church in February. It was probably about 2 minutes long. And as I sent it out, when I was watching it, there was so much excitement in my face as I was sharing with you about just how much we were able to pay off $500,000 of our debt that month. We were going to be making an additional $30,000 debt payment. Like, I was pumped. And then I looked at my March update, and there was not that same glimmer in my eye, that excitement. And many of you know that that update was when I had to tell us as a church via video that our services would be shut down to the public. And what we didn't know is that we would spend the next 6 months with our doors closed and our services only online. And for many of us, that was a crazy time. But what's interesting is I looked at that video, and I was looking this week into my eyes as I was sharing. I can remember exactly what I was feeling as I was trying to put on this good face. This feeling of like, God, why? Why after this incredible start to this initiative that we've spent so much time pouring time and effort into, why would you allow this to happen where things shut down and what's going to happen? And there was all this worry. But as I went along in that, one of the things that I heard God consistently telling me was Rob, do you trust me? Not do you trust in what you have planned or what you have done, but do you recognize that everything that is happening in the world right now did not catch me by surprise? That the timing of what is happening was not a surprise to me? And do you trust me? And this is Paul Schwier. Paul Schwier is and has been the treasurer of our church for a number of years. I'm very thankful. Amen. Too many, he says. And I'm making him sign up for another year. So, but I'm very thankful for Paul and Diana and just their ministry here in our church. And Paul, as you think back to that time of the pandemic when it kind of started and we had just launched into Unfinished, what were some of the things that were going through your heart and mind as we walked into that season?
Yeah, that was exciting, wasn't it?
It was.
Not in a good way. yeah, you know, for me, my head, right, was telling me logically, wait a minute, we are not gathering. Therefore, how do we create an offering? Therefore, how do we pay our bills? And, you know, I had to wrestle with that. But my heart was telling me, hey, you know what? This didn't take God by surprise. And he's got us. So it's going to be okay. And I think for me, the galvanizing moment was in April of 2020. We had gone ahead and applied as a church for the payroll protection program monies from the government, and it gotten approved. And this would have been enough to probably pay our expenses for a month and a half, or to maybe put like 15 to more percent down on our mortgage, a huge amount. And as the elder board, through a Zoom meeting, you remember those Zoom meetings that we had to have?
Yep.
Was wrestling with this, you know, my heart, God was just telling me, you know, he's like, don't you trust me completely through this? And I think the elders had that wrestling. They decided to just, hey, you know what? We are going to stop. We're not going to vote on this. We're going to take a week and just bathe this in prayer. And when the board came back together in a week, it was almost in one accord. God, you've got this completely. We trust you. We're not going to take that money. When we started this initiative, it was because we felt like you were going to provide.
Amen.
Through everyone here, and that's what we're going to trust you for. And from that point on, for me, I was 100% confident, not only that we meet our expenses, but that we pay our debt off in that year, as you know.
Yeah.
Pushing in many meetings to make pay downs. So.
Yes, I pushed very hard. And it was incredible because I remember those meetings so well. And I also remember the burden that God kept saying the same thing to me. Do you trust me? This, you can rely on the man. Right? We just went through a series on Judges where it shows what happens when you rely on man, right? You rely on man or do you trust me? And it was such a powerful moment when we came together and said that. And it's been incredible to see what God has been teaching us as we have put our faith in him over these last 2 years. And Paul, what do you feel like God has been teaching us as a church collectively as we've gone through these couple of years together?
Yeah, so many things, I think. But, you know, I think one thing that really encourages me, and even though, I mean, for many here and many out in the world, I mean, it's been a difficult, difficult season, one full of loss for many. And but, you know, God is still sovereign. And everything that we're experiencing, that we've gone through, you know, nothing, and none of that has caught him off guard. And so, you know, I really look at just, you know, not only how he's guided and directed us, but how, as a church, I kind of feel like we've kind of, sometimes we're kind of so tethered in different ways to this world. And through this time, it's like God is just kind of cutting those cords and saying, hey, you know what? You know, that's sifting sand. I'm the constant. You know, focus on me. And what's really encouraging is just in the last year, just so many with the Life on Mission, our focus and outreach, there's so many people that, you know, I don't know how they can make it, you know, without God, that don't have God. And so for us to be able to present the good news, the gospel, to those that don't know, I think he's really preparing our church for that season.
Yeah, God has taught us so much in these last 2 years, especially with the pandemic, about do we trust him or do we trust the world? And I've seen that same work that he's doing in our congregation. Paul, would you maybe just share in closing, what has God been teaching you personally in this season?
We got all day?
We do. Well, I do. I don't know about that.
I don't think you have all day. And I won't bore you. But yeah, I'll tell you, I think, honestly, God has shown me more and taught me more in the last 2 years, I think, than in the last 20 years of my life. You know, it's as you know, Robin, you've just been an encouragement to both Diana and I. You know, we've been going through some things, challenges, physically and health-wise, and it's just really helped us to just galvanize our focus on the Lord. And one big thing, you know, is just the day-to-day. You know, we're praying more together. Diane and I are just in the Word more. We're just seeking to see what God would have for us day to day. And we're not taking any day for granted. You know, Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. So what I'm trying to do is that, you know, take one day, this is the day, and do whatever I can. Try and be Spirit-filled and seek to just glorify him in what I do. And the other thing I could spend on and on and on and on, but another key point I think that he has taught me is to kind of change my perspective somewhat from the why. You know, when we have trials, our tendency is to go to God and say, you know, why? You know, why have you allowed this in my life? And I think God wants us to turn around into the what. And the why, and the what instead of the why. And the what is, you know, what are you trying to teach me by allowing me to go through this? And how can I be more like Christ through it? And so I'm trying to do that more.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Would you thank Paul for coming and sharing with us this morning? Thank you, Paul. It is so true, and I think you're going to continue to hear the same thing as we go through our service this morning, is that, you know, the Unfinished Generosity Initiative really did begin with the idea that we've got these projects and these things that we think that God is calling us to do, but really the emphasis was more so about what God wanted to teach us in this season. And none of us would have ever expected that launching into it, there would be this pandemic, and that we would go through some fairly painful things in these last few years. And I think Paul's learning and the thing that God is teaching him is something that he is trying to teach all of us as we go through this season. Is as we walk through it, it's not about why, God, did you let these things happen, but what is it that you're trying to teach me? And I believe today you're going to hear a lot of stories about what God has been teaching us as we walk step by step with him in this journey. God has been so faithful to us, and so today we want to celebrate him and give him thanks for all that he is doing. Would you pray with me as we continue in our worship? Father, we thank you for, again, giving us this church family to gather and to worship you week in and week out, to be a place where we can be deeply known and deeply know others. Father, where we can take and pour what you are doing in our lives and our hearts into the lives of others. And Lord, as we have gone through this past year, there are many lessons that you have been teaching each of us on an individual level as we walk with you and place our faith and trust in you, even struggling to do so. But you are a good God, you are a patient God, and you are a generous God. And so, Father, we say thank you for your provision. We say thank you, God, for the way that in which we may be worried that this thing wouldn't go the way we expected. You showed, God, that you are the one in control, paying off our debt in a year's time. But more important than that, Lord, you have been so faithful to continue to teach us and to grow us as we surrender our hearts to you. And so that's why we worship here together today. And that's why we continue in our worship singing to you, Father, because we are so thankful for how you are invested and involved and generous with us in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Would you guys stand and join us again? So we raise it all to the King.
Surrounds me. With just one word, the darkness has to retreat. With just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. Yeah. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. With just one word, you heal what's broken inside. Just one word, and you revive every dream. With just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that I've got. Faith arise, let all agree, there's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things, there's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree, there's no power like the power of Jesus. That I can't do. There's not a mountain that
be seated.
I'm really excited about the opportunity for Westgate to expand beyond its, you know, its own walls into the community.
We are just so excited to see what God has in store for our congregation.
I've been so excited about all the things that Westgate could do, a new program for internships and being able to support missionaries even more.
And there'll be things that he will do that will blow our minds, and I'm so excited to see what those are going to be. And I think for many of them, we won't even know until heaven of what he's done because of our willingness to let go and see what he's going to do with the big or little things that we offer to him.
I'm excited about, in a couple of years, what younger people will be standing here perhaps saying about what we're doing right now. So we're right on the edge of the diving board. Water in the pool is nice and cool. I hope everybody dives in together wholeheartedly and gets behind this, because together many hands will make the work alight.
Just seeing Westgate come together as a team and work together to fulfill this whole initiative has just been really inspiring.
Jesus taught us how to be generous.
Generosity is kind of like giving things and doing it like you want to do it.
I'm gonna give money and sell it away to people that don't have stuff to do, so I could just give it my way away, the money, and give it to the people who don't have houses and stuff. And I could, if someone doesn't have candy, I can give them my candy.
We had the whole church behind this. Yeah. I can't even imagine everything that would get accomplished.
In my life, whenever the Lord has prompted me to obey him, it's not always with what the end goal is. He rarely says, do this because these are the things I'm going to do. It's usually a prompting to do something, and then he always blows my mind with what he does with my act of obedience. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that our church is looking into expanding with generosity and paying down debt and expanding our ministry focus, if we're feeling led down that path, I can only imagine what God wants to do with faithful and willing and obedient people to him, not only as an act of faith, but just as a gratitude for what it is that he's done for us, the blessings that he has given us.
Just the blessing that we experience, just of knowing that we've furthered God's kingdom and that we've had that opportunity to give back to the Lord, it just brings me so much joy, and it is absolutely worth it, without a doubt.
As I think back to these testimonies that were shared at the very beginning of Unfinish, there was so much anticipation about God, what God would be doing, but also teaching us in this season. And one of the favorite things for me was just what God was teaching us about what it means to live a generous lifestyle. And you got to hear some testimonies of what God was beginning to teach us as adults. And one of my favorite parts, too, was watching our kids be taught the same thing of what it means to live a generous lifestyle with your time, talent, and treasure from the time that you're young until you're older. And it was incredible to see. And this is Jake and Rachel Gulliver, and just a great part of our church family. And Jake and Rachel, as you think back on everything at the beginning of Unfinished and what we were learning about living a lifestyle of generosity, what has God been teaching you over these past couple of years?
God definitely laid it on us on a financial purpose of giving. With Unfinished and talking about everything that was coming from it. Like before we'd started with Unfinished, Rachel and I had already had our tithes kind of pre-planned. We said, God, here's what we can do. We're right here. And then Unfinished comes around and we pray about it, and God says, yeah, you're right here. This is where you need to be. And me being the numbers guy, looking at the budget and the finance, said, there's no way. We can't do this without losing every bit of finance that we have. We would drain our checking, our savings account, but that's what we're going to do because that's what God said to do. So let's go. And he really came through on being faithful and just saying, trust me, this is what I'm calling you to give. And we stepped into it, just set it on the auto pay through online giving, said it's going to happen whether I want it to or not, and I'm going to trust that it's going to work. And sure enough, as we started giving and as we watched the checking account start to go down, more and more and more overtime opportunities came up at work. We've got a lottery system for how it works with my company. Never in our history has someone been chosen first 3 times in a row, yet somehow I did. And so I was able to pick the slots that I wanted for the overtime, and we've been more than abundant in what we've been able to give and not have to worry about it.
That's really cool. And it's cool to see just God's provision in when we are faithful to trust him with a generous lifestyle that he comes through. And Rachel, what are some of the things that God has been teaching you?
Yeah, so aside from the financial goals, my goal was to really make church a leading priority in my life and our family's life. And that meant, you know, coming to church with the kids, even when Jake's working, committing to our life group and serving wherever I could, even if it meant talking on a Sunday morning.
But, which is not always easy,
no.
Right?
But God, you know, he really changed my heart from church being something that I should do, that I should make a priority, to something that I really loved and cherished. Yeah. I saw church as my family, my eternal family, my spiritual family, that I really wanted to take responsibility for. And the fact that God started this work in my heart and in Westgate's heart before the pandemic, he carried us through the pandemic. You know, it strengthened my faith in God and my trust in him that he's going to provide.
That's incredible. And I think that is one of the cool stories that I've heard kind of from so many people as we've gone through these past 2 years together, is there is a lot that God has been teaching us when it comes to our understanding of generosity and how to live a generous life. But the deeper work that he has wanted to do in us all along really has to do with how we will submit our hearts to him and really look to him as the one that we put all of our faith and all of our trust in every area of our life. And this is Kathy Douglas. Kathy has been a faithful member of our church for so many years. And, you know, Kathy has been jumping into an area that we have been really challenging our church in for the last couple of years as well, which is thinking about how we as a church are reaching out to reach the community that surrounds us. You've heard us talk about neighboring and neighboring initiatives, which is the idea that God has given each of us a circle of influence with people in our lives where we have the opportunity to share the good news and the gospel with them. And Kathy, what has God been teaching you over these past couple years of unfinished, recognizing the work that he has for you?
Well, thanks, Rob. He's taught me a number of things. But one is, he reminded me of the Word of God in Amos. It said, you know, a time is going to come when people are not going to just be hungry for the words of the Lord. They're going to have there's going to be a famine for the words of the Lord. And so what I wanted to do with my neighbors was to start a women's Bible study. And we started one in late 2019. And because God is the God of all things, we wrapped up the week before the government shut everything down. And so we were able to conclude that study. We've had two more since then, and another one planned for January. But there's been a little bit more, and I didn't share this first service, but one of the women in our group said to me not too long ago, you know, I used to read the Bible. She said, but now I study it to learn, you know, to learn about the Lord. And that's what it's all about.
That is so cool. And would you thank Jake, Rachel, and Kathy for coming and sharing with us this morning? That is such a cool testimony, because the truth is that we could tell so many stories of what God is doing in our congregation as we begin to submit our hearts to him and say, God, I'll let you use me wherever it is that you have planted me. So many stories of how people have taken steps of faith, and also where they're seeing God and his faithfulness move in the people that they are reaching out to. But not only have we talked about neighboring with the people that God has placed in each of our individual circles, we've also been talking as a church about corporate neighboring. gathering. And what I mean by that is that God has placed this church facility and this body in a specific community here where we reside. And his desire is that we would also seek to reach the community where he has planted us as a church. And one of the burdens that God has been placing on my heart for many, many months has been this question that is plaguing me of, if Westgate Chapel were to disappear tomorrow, would the community notice? Would the community that immediately surrounds our church building, would they even notice that we were gone? Not just because the traffic got less, you know, when people are coming to church, but would they notice because there would be a void of people that were pouring into them and sharing with them Christ's love and showing them his love? And it has been the thing that is really driving us forward as we think about how God desires to take and use Unfinished in the years to come as well for us to make an impact in the community that immediately surrounds us. We've begun doing that over these past couple of years, and one of the cool ways that we are has been by seeking to develop a relationship with Door Street Elementary right here in our community. And Julianne, you have gotten to have a front row seat on that ministry, and there's some really cool stuff that's happened. Would you maybe share with us one way that our church family is getting involved in this way to reach our community?
Yeah, it's my privilege to share this story of just people at our church being faithful. So this story starts back in August. Keith and Amy Sponsler were in their neighborhood walking like they do, and with that posture of neighboring and being ready, listening, obeying, they came across one of their neighbors and was talking just about needs and connections, and this neighbor just so happens to be the principal of Door Street Elementary, and they had met previously from connections, and so through that conversation, they got to hear the principal's heart for this idea of an outdoor classroom. They have this prairie space, and they just didn't have the manpower, and you could feel her fatigue, right? Like, I don't know how to pull this off. And so Keith and Amy were faithful. They shared with me. They brought us into this picture, and we walked through making this happen. And so I went and met with the principal, and I created this paint drawing in Microsoft Paint, as silly as could be, and I sent it to Keith and said, how are we going to do this? I didn't know. I don't do this. And he was like, let me get my community in, right? So he's using, so now he's neighboring, and he's bringing his community, the people that meet at 9 o'clock in the gym, Community One, and he brought some of his friends along, and they went and pulled this project off. They got the supplies, met with the principal, and I just love that idea of rallying. So as he's saying yes, he's bringing people, we the church get to do this together, along to then create this outdoor classroom. And so you can see he brought Wayne Gates and Clint Longnecker, Tom Swan, and the principal was so overwhelmed. I immediately got pictures. You can see the kids using the classroom. It's got a full classroom set, and then she, all the teachers sent us a note. We have a huge, giant card, and she even went so far as to write a newspaper article in the Holland Springfield Journal sharing about our project, right? Because she just experienced God's love in a tangible way when we show and share the gospel and reach out to our neighbors. And so that was just one fun story of this idea of neighboring, bringing the church along, and getting to experience this. And since then, many doors have been open and continue to open as we're developing this partnership, this wonderful community partnership, as the principal noted in this article. So praise God.
And it's great, because I'm excited to see how many, please give glory to God for that. It's so exciting. Exciting to see how God is opening up those gateways and those doors for us in the community to develop relationships that will provide the opportunity for us to share Christ's love continually with our community. It's the heartbeat that God is putting inside of me, and I hope inside of our church, that we will have a long-term impact in this community that surrounds us. Another way that we're doing that, Julianne, is with internationals, and we've talked about this a number of times, that God has given us a great opportunity to see the nations coming to our country, but also to Toledo, from places where they don't have access to the gospel. And we've been a part of that. And most recently, we have gotten to be a part of the International Thanksgiving Dinner over the last couple of weeks. And we wanted to share just an update about the incredible things that God was doing during this time. So would you share a little bit of that with us?
Yeah, so you can see on the screen, we had a big party here 2 weeks ago. Thanks to you guys. You guys used your time, talent, and treasure. You guys stepped up
And I have a couple just statistics to share and report back, but really it all adds to this idea of us being unfinished and continuing to walk in faith. And so we opened up our doors. You guys donated the 16 turkeys and helped set up cleanup administration. Every gift was used to get our people there, coordinate rides, et cetera, et cetera. And we were able to open the doors to 105 international students. As Rob shared, they're from countries that many of us can't get into, and the Christian church is not thriving. India, Nepal, Bangladesh, as well as people from, I mean, there's five different countries represented here as our guest on our guest list, which is super cool, or five different continents, 16 countries. And it was just a beautiful picture of people, you guys, taking steps of faith. So we had 30 tables hosted, and 13 of them had new hosts, maybe their first time hosting, or people brought along a friend so that they could take a step of faith. We had hosts young as like 8 months old up to about 80 years old. It was a picture of all ages, every like walk of life. We had internationals helping host and bringing their friends, right? It's just this evolving picture. We had our community partners stand in the gap. You can see Wes with us. He helps invite and coordinate and keep these relationships going. And so I was just blown away, breathtaking, to watch our church using their gifts in action. And we're all made differently, all have a different role. But this event totally highlighted us taking steps of faith, being a little uncomfortable, but willing to put it on the line, willing to invite someone so that we can continue to grow in our faith so that we can reach our neighbors that are from the nations, which is what we are all about. And so we're so excited to continue to pray that this wasn't just a one-night event. It was, you could feel the buzz, the excitement. So we have asked all our hosts to continue those relationships. Many of these students were invited to Thanksgiving in our church family's homes. So they went on Thanksgiving Day. I've been hearing stories even this morning of the connections the hosts have had with their international students since the dinner 2 weeks ago. We've invited them all back to Christmas on Wilford. The Conversation Partners Hospitality continued on-ramps, right? This isn't just one and done. This is an awesome experience for us to continue to be the church. And so thank you, church, for what you did to make this event happen. Again, I could never, it doesn't even make sense. It's a ridiculously involved event. But with the body doing what it's made to do, it went seamlessly. Thanks to you guys.
Awesome. What'd you thank Julianne for sharing with us today? Just so exciting. And this is really the heartbeat behind Unfinished. It's the idea that the work that God has called us to do, that he has for us, is unfinished. And it will be unfinished until the day that he comes again. And so we are so grateful to be a part of what he is doing. We're expectant and excited about the things that are going to come in the years to come. Even as we move in this next year into launching our residency program, we finish the refresh of our worship centers. We continue to take unfinished funds and pour it into ministry in our local community that will open up more doors for us to reach people with the gospel. And I want to invite Pastor Dave, our executive pastor, to come out and just give us a brief update this morning on kind of how Unfinished has gone from the financial perspective to fund the things that God has called us to. Obviously, we've paid off the debt, which is super exciting, but maybe share where we're at and where we're headed.
Sounds great. Thanks, Rob. And indeed, I've had a front row seat, and it's been quite a privilege as the executive pastor. So a lot of prayer preparation in mid-19, and then we launched in December and of 2019. And as you mentioned, what a month in which God showed up through you. $750,000 in December alone totally knocked my socks off. It was just fantastic. I loved it. And then giving continued to be strong all the way through the end of last year as well. And as you mentioned, that allowed us to pay off the $1.5 million of debt. What a huge blessing that was. This year, the reality is that there's been a bit of a lull in giving through the course of this year, so kind of down a bit year on year. And yet I hearken back to what Paul had said, Schwer, about just being faithful and trusting in God. And indeed, we have been. And I'm happy to say that really over the past couple of months, giving has climbed back up quite a bit and exceeds now on a monthly basis our expenses in a way that we've been able to kind of clear, so to speak, several $100,000 that we can now shift away, not into debt anymore, but put into unfinished engagement, set the stage for multiplication, some of the things that we've already heard about here today. So we've already spent about half of it, again, of that $200,000 in community engagement, doing real things and preparing for the sanctuary refresh. It's absolutely fantastic. And may I just say thank you to you all for what God is doing in you and through you, for your generosity, for your faithfulness. And I really, just standing right here at this precipice, I just can't wait to see what God is going to be doing as we close out the unfinished generosity initiative, what he's going to do, how we're going to translate that into bringing the gospel to this community. It's fantastic. And may I invite the many new faces that we see here, come with us and see how God is at work.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave, for sharing today. Yeah, please. You know, it's incredible. And one of the things that I wanted to do today was take just a moment to share with you a few of the lessons that I believe God has been teaching me, but also been teaching us as a church from the very beginning of the Unfinished Initiative. To do so, I want to draw your attention to a passage of scripture that we actually looked at together 2 years ago at the very beginning of our initiative. If you have your Bibles, open up with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in the Old Testament. And we're going to take a look together at verses 1 through 9. We took a look at this passage of scripture at our advanced commitment night, the very first night that we began to bring our commitments to the Lord for this initiative. And we came in anticipation, not of just how we would live a generous lifestyle with our resources, but honestly, prayerfully coming before the Lord and saying, God, I want to be generous in every way with my time, my talent, my treasure. I want my life to be yours, to be used by you. And as we talked about that together, we took a look at this passage to gain some clarity and understanding about God's desire for our lives. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, what we have here is David, who has this idea before chapter 29 of building a temple for the Lord. If you look back a few chapters prior to this, David is nearing the end of his kingship. And as he's nearing the end of his kingship, going to be turning things over to his son, one of the ideas that he has is to build a temple for the Lord. And the reason he has this idea, one of the verses says very clearly, is that he's looking at this incredible palace that he himself resides in, and yet the Ark of the Covenant, the place where the glory of the Lord would reside with his people, was still within a tent. And he goes to Nathan, and he says to Nathan, Nathan, the Lord has told me, I believe, that I'm supposed to go and to build this this temple. And so Nathan says, go and do what you've said you want to do. But then that evening, it says that the Lord also came to Nathan and said, Nathan, I want you to go back to David and tell him that I have not intended for him to build the temple, but for his son Solomon, and that David is going to be instrumental in beginning to set this process up. And so it's very interesting as you read through the scriptures, we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, where David is standing before the people of Israel, and he gives them a charge as they begin to prepare for this incredible building of the temple that will take place during Solomon's lifetime. And here's what it says. It says, David the king said to all of the assembly, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, he is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord. So I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able, the gold things for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, the precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all of that, I have provided for the holy house. I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver, and because of my devotion to the house of God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly consecrating himself to the Lord today? Then the leaders of the fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they offered freely to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced greatly. There's a few observations from this text that I want to remind us of that I believe are so essential. Number one is this, is that the building of the temple isn't about man, but it is for the Lord. We see David declare this so clearly in verse 1, that this project that is set out before them isn't about man, but it is about the Lord. It would have been very easy for David, like many other kings that had come before him, to be a person who wanted to set up their power and their strength and their standing within the world by building these incredible palaces or temples and building incredible projects that would bring them glory. But the thing is that David didn't fall into that trap of seeking glory for himself, but his deepest heart's desire was to be one who would give the Lord glory. And so here he reminds the people that what we are setting out to do is not about us, it's not about making our name great, but making the name of the Lord great. And I want to tell you something that stands out to me as we have gone through this two-year initiative so much, because one of the things that I see has happened in our culture at large, even in the big C church in our world today, is that there is so much emphasis at times, it seems, on how churches can make themselves look good, how they can garner more people to attend their services, how they can get more money into their bank accounts so that people will look and go, well, that is the church that has it all together. There are many pastors that I've talked to and even heard from them that their ideas for church growth are more focused on how they can grab sheep from other sheep pens than to go out and to find those who are lost. And I want to tell you that one of the burdens that God has placed on my heart, but also the heart of our leadership, is that God is calling Westgate Chapel as a church not to make this place and this place of worship about us and our glory, but to make it about the glory of the Lord. That the deepest passion and drive that we have is not about what we can do to look good, but to seek and to save those who are perishing and who do not know the Lord. Because the truth is that one day when we stand before the Lord to give account, he will not look at us and say, hey, how many Christians could you garner into your building to stand and to worship? To be honest, the Lord will look and say, what did you do with your time, with your talent, and your treasure to reach those who did not know me? And are we a church that recognizes that the building, the things that God is calling us to do, isn't about us and our glory, but it is about his and making his name great in this world? Not only did David understand that truth, but one of the things that I love about this passage is that we see that David also gave very generously himself to the things that God was calling them to. And he called the people also to offer willingly offerings for the building of the temple because of their devotion to the Lord. Now, this stands out to me intriguingly because there are many ways that David could have accomplished this project. David, very much as king, like many other kings before him had done, when they had a project that they wanted to complete, could have really put obligation on his people that they were obligated to do this project with him. He could have created an offering of benefits and exemptions from public service for people that if they gave, and somehow there would be a benefit that they receive, right? We do that with our kids all the time. Hey, if you do this, then I will give you this, right? It's a way of coaxing people or manipulating them into participation. You know, he could have had some kind of incentive program. He also could have done it in such a way as to lay a heavy tax burden on the people, which many kings before him would do. To not only put a tax burden on the people and to put them into a place where they were forced to give, but then to push them also into forced labor in order to complete the project. But what I love about David and David's heart is not only did he give generously because of the devotion that he had to the Lord, but he called upon the people to give with the same heart, not out of a place of coercion or compulsion, but because of their love for God and devotion and their desire to see him and his name be made great. I point this out because there are many people who give of their time, their talent, and treasure in the Big C Church today begrudgingly. They do so because they feel like it's the Christian thing to do. It's what's expected of me to do. And they do it out of compulsion and not with a heart that is excited about what God is doing, but a feeling of I must. You know, growing up as a young man in the church, that was the way that I really learned to give. I was told from the young age, this is what you do as a Christian. You give your 10%, you tithe, and that is what God expects from you. But the truth is that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture doesn't teach that we give out of compulsion. It teaches that we give not even just 10%, but we give generously because of our devotion to God and our belief in who God is, and not only because of what he's done in our life, but what he wants to do in the lives of other people. You see, generosity that is pleasing to the Lord doesn't flow from a place of obligation, but it flows from a heart of devotion. And so we see here that the building of the temple isn't about man, it's about the Lord. The giving of offerings to be a part of God's work isn't about doing so because you have to, it's because you get to, and to be a part of what God is doing. And thirdly, the other thing that I see that stands out is this truth, is that generosity for a follower of Jesus Christ isn't about a two-year initiative. It's the kingdom way. And I want you to think about that truth again this morning. Generosity for a follower of Jesus Christ is not a two-year initiative. It is the kingdom way for every follower of Jesus Christ. Not only do we see it in this account of David with the building of the temple, but if you all go all the way back into the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 36, where you see Moses building the tabernacle, the very place where the glory of God would reside amongst his people. They called the people to give and to give generously from a heart that was devoted to the Lord. And as they are giving, you see that they give so much that in verses 6 through 7 of chapter 36, it says that Moses had to tell the people to actually stop bringing the offerings because they had far more than what they needed. What is the purpose behind generosity for the believer? The point isn't just to build tabernacles or temples. It's not to pay off debt. It's not to fix up worship centers. It's not to start residency programs. Those are good things. But the purpose of generosity in the life of a believer is to surrender everything that we are to God for his purposes. Because our desire is that the very presence of the glory of God would come and reside with us. And that through us, that the Holy Spirit would then tabernacle within more men and women who would turn their hearts to the Lord and surrender their lives to him, even for the very first time. And we see this throughout the scriptures and the gospels. We have no greater example of generosity than Jesus Christ himself, who's taught his disciples that the greatest attribute that they could show in generosity towards others was a deep, deep love for God that produced a deep, deep love for other people. And Jesus modeled it by showing the extent of his generosity for us in giving his very life. And then we see in the book of Acts that the church learned this lesson from the Lord. And as they began to live life together, we see them living out his teaching, giving generously of their time, their talent, their treasure to care for each other and to support the forward movement of the gospel to the very ends of the earth, not because they had to, because they couldn't help but desire to be a part of what God was doing. My hope and prayer for us as a church is this, is that in a few moments, even as we bring our commitments and maybe even our offerings to the Lord today, my hope is that we do so having learned so much in these past 2 years about surrender. And that the lifestyle of generosity that we have learned about wouldn't end with our service today. But over these past 2 years, that it would be just the beginning of a lifetime of pushing the limits of our generosity with our time, our talent, and our treasure, because our kingdom work in this world will remain unfinished until the day that God comes again. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the way in which you have shown us over these last 2 years just how faithful you are. It is not what we expected to go through. These seasons have been difficult, and yet, God, you have shown your faithfulness towards us and the way that you have provided financially and the way that you have provided, Father, by growing us and challenging us to move to deeper places of faith and trust. I mean, we said at the beginning when we taught about generosity that it's about learning to trust you. Who would have ever expected what we would walk through in these past 2 years to get to that place? But you're faithful. And I believe, God, that you are doing a work to change and to transform our hearts, if we will let you, to be those who live generous lives with everything that we are in a world that needs to know you. Thank you, God, for teaching us to trust you. And I pray, Father, as we said, that this idea of being unfinished would not just be a 2-year initiative that we end today, but that it truly would be, as Paul declared it to be in the book of Philippians, a lifelong calling to recognize that there is more, God, that you always desire to do in us and through us as we are yielding our hearts and our lives to you. So receive our worship and our thanks for what you are teaching us, God. May you continue to teach us and grow the bounds of our generosity with all that we are, that we would be a light to this world of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. During these next 2 songs of worship, if you have brought an offering with you today that you would like to give, we just want to have a special moment of bringing it here to the front where we have the receptacles for the offering, just as a way to come before the Lord and say, Lord, and whether you hit your commitment number or not, just simply to say, God, I trust you, and I offer this to you to give you thanks for who you are. Let's worship together.
want is you. Sing it out. All I want is you. If you mean it. Is that true?
All I want is you, Jesus. All I want is you. Wherever you need me, yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever it costs me,
lead it.
All I want is you, Jesus. All I want is you.
us today. Again, if you have brought your offerings with you and wanted to still have an opportunity, these receptacles will be up here after the service. And if you desire somebody to pray with you today, our prayer room is open. Our prayer team would love the opportunity to pray with you. And you can head to the prayer room outside these doors and to the right. But as we close, we wanted to take just a moment as we kind of exit this unfinished initiative season. We have a really cool gift that we would actually love to give you. And our spiritual formation director, Kendra, would like to share that with you now.
So as we've all grown in surrendering our finances as part of our whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to keep going and growing and stewarding our finances. And so we have a gift that we want to offer you guys this morning. Many of you have heard of Financial Peace University, and many of you have even gone through it and had great financial strides because of it. And Dave Ramsey, their company has expanded online resources now where they not only offer Financial Peace University, but they offer 6 different courses, a couple courses for people who need to start before Financial Peace University, as well as a course after Financial Peace University. So depending where you are in your finances, there's a tool for you. There's also a couple different apps, an app to help you with budgeting, and then an app to help you track the progress that you're making on your goals. There's even a course to help your kids learn about finances. There's audiobooks. There's all kinds of stuff on there for you. So we as a church have purchased access for everyone here until November of next year. So it's 12 months that everyone here has access to this for free. This is our gift to you. So in your sermon notes today, you have an insert with a QR code. If you have a smartphone, you can scan that and get started. Also, this week on Friday, when we send out our What's Up at Westgate biweekly email, there'll be a link in there that you can click on, and that'll send you right to the page that has our church passcode in there that you'll be able to sign up and have free access to all these resources. Also, for people who would like to do an in-person class for the Financial Peace University part, we are going to be offering that in January. So when you follow the link or QR code, it will give you more information about that class, and you'll be hearing more about that in the future as well. So look out for that on this Friday's email, and contact the main office if you have any questions. And let's close this service in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father God, we are just so excited today to celebrate you, what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're still going to do, Lord. For you are not a God who is dead, but you are a God who is very much alive and involved in his creation, and we praise you for that, Lord God. Thank you that you are a good God who we can trust, that you've proven to us over and over and over again. Thank you, Lord, that you are a trustworthy, good God. Because we know that you are good and that you are trustworthy, we can place our whole lives in your hands and say, here, God, I know that you can take care of this far better than I can. So we just take our whole lives and lay it before you right now and say, God, will you be the Lord of my life? Every aspect of my life, Lord God, every aspect, you can control it a whole lot better than I can. So for my own good and for your glory, Lord, take every part of it. We surrender it to you, God. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ here that we can gather together, encourage each other, hold us accountable, and grow deeper together. Protect us this week as we go out and bring us back together again next Sunday, Lord. We love you. Amen. We'll be right back.